What we are doing is to invoke the power of God. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's what we are doing. We are invoking God's power. There's nothing that we are doing in this life that is by our own power. Everything is by the Spirit of God. What that means is that God supplies enablement. He pours a spirit that makes things possible into us. When we want to study the word, it is not because we have a preacher that preaches well. It's not because we are very educated. In fact, there's one man that I read his books and listen to some of his messages. He said there's what is called grace apparatus for perception. Did you hear that? Grace apparatus for perception. The English alone is difficult for anybody to understand. But what it means is that anybody can understand the revelation of God. That's what he means. He said anybody. That you don't have to be educated, you don't have to be intelligent, you don't need any of those things. That if the revelation of the word of God comes forth, anybody can understand. And it calls it the grace apparatus for perception. I wish I had used a simple word like anybody can understand. Alright, so what we are doing is to just invoke that grace apparatus for perception, or anybody can understand, by declaring the word of God. Alright, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you are alive and you are well, give me an amen.
Amen.
Alright, let's declare God's word as we study. As we begin to study the word of God today, this is our declaration. One, two, go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I am being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And as a result of this, I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruits in every good work. And I am increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ear to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it is making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let's take the last stanza again. Now again, I incline my ear to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. It is making me more and more like the Lord Jesus, in the name of Jesus. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats and begin to study for today. Now that you have declared God's word, that will be your experience today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I said that will be your experience. The word of God will enter into your heart. God will give you the knowledge of His will. You will have spiritual wisdom and understanding. You will walk in a manner that is worthy of being one that bears His name. And listen, you will bear fruit in every good work.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Healing is your portion.
Amen.
Wisdom for direction is your portion.
Amen.
Wisdom for salvation is your portion.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good.
Awesome.
I said the Lord is good.
Awesome.
If you believe it, please give me a warm amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, let's continue to talk about total faith. And today I would like us to take a text of the scriptures from the book of Galatians chapter 6. We've been reading again and again from that book of Mark chapter 11. Just to save time, I don't want us to read it again today to start, but we'll just refer to it. Jesus cursed a tree, and that was a good learning point for the disciples. He said, have faith in God. And we said, what does it mean to have faith in God or to have the faith of God? The Amplified Bible tells us it is to have faith in God all the time, continually. And we have been learning and explaining that what that means is that you cannot compartmentalize faith in life if you want your faith to be strong. You cannot say, I will have faith in this area and I will not have faith in that other area. Faith you have in one area is affecting your ability to believe in another area. The emphasis being on that ability to believe. Faith is not just a determination to believe, it is an ability to believe. It's inherent inside you, it is inside you, it is built up over time. And I said faith is a seed. What I mean in that is that every day you are planting the seeds of faith. You are doing things, you are making decisions, you are taking actions, all right, that shows that you are believing God. And the time will come when great faith will be needed in your life, you will find it there. Faith is not close your eyes and try, muzzle and try. No, it's either you can believe or you can't believe. That's the way it is. And I emphasized something last time, that the time of peace is when we build the ability to believe. In the time of peace, we sow the seeds for believing. Last time we were talking about faith for financial, we were talking about total faith for finances, yes. I began to talk about that last time. And that, for me, that total faith for finances is a perfect illustration of how faith works in different areas of life. To let us understand that it's not when we need money that we start looking for faith to believe God for money. The matter of money, finances, is very broad. It's one of the most important things about life, and we're going to use it to continue to explain for some time. Because it said that Jesus spoke about money more than most other things. And the reason is because it's the way you do things in life. It's a means of exchange of virtually everything, goods and services. And I believe that that's why I was using it to explain how things are. Because, you know, spiritual things, you see, God will say, a king went out to go and take a kingdom, and he gave money to his servants. Do business with this, he said, until I come back. And that was a type of what God expects us to do in life. What I'm trying to say here is this. The issue of money is a very good thing to use to explain faith. Unfortunately, the way we have lived in life, the way we preachers have preached over the last few years in the world, we have helped Christians to misunderstand the principle of faith. We think that if they need money, they should just get up, go and give money, they get more money. But when you teach them like that, they think that is how it is in other areas. When you need healing, you go and sow a seed for healing and you get healing. When you need direction, that's why people start telling you that God spoke to me. God said I should marry this person. God has never spoken to them to do any good thing. God has never spoken to them to do anything. They suddenly, when it's time to marry, they want to hear the voice of God. If that's the first time you are hearing God, I strongly suspect you're not hearing correctly. That is my suspicion, all right? I may be wrong, but I just suspect that you're not hearing correctly. The problem is that we think that I now get up and start hearing God. I don't know. I feel like talking about that hearing God thing again today. You don't practice how to hear God. When God wants to talk to you, he can shout. Did you hear what I said? God knows how to shout if shouting is necessary. He spoke to Samuel. Samuel heard his voice, not even knowing that God talks to people. It was a little boy. So loud was the voice, he thought it had to be a human being. He wasn't aware that spirits talk to people. So he went to Eli and said, you called me. Eli said, I didn't call you. You must have imagined it. He went back to sleep. He came back. Sir, you called me. Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back to sleep. The third time, Samuel said, this one, I'm not joking, because the first two times, I waited for you. After you said that you didn't call, I said, this one, I refuse to fall asleep again. Eli said, well, if you are so convinced, that means you are hearing something. Then suddenly the Holy Spirit helped Eli to understand. It is God that's talking to the little boy. So he said to him, next time you hear the voice, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. That was his first training. He heard God before he understood how to respond. Most times people tell me that God said, let me just tell you, if you want counsel from Banky, don't tell me God told you, because I will never speak against God. I'm not a fool. Who wants to die young? So once you say God told me, I will shut up. I grew up under that influence also. After being a believer for a long time, listen, I started studying the scriptures. It's not a bragging thing, okay? I'm just trying to explain that I'm not a novice. Next year will be 2017. It will make 30 years that I'm reading the Bible. Like my life depends on it. 30 years of continual. I didn't backslide anytime. Some people say I backslid for 6 years. I didn't. There was not 1 month in these 30 years that I lost the love for the word of God. Not 1 month in 30 years. I may have been negligent for some days because maybe of many activities. But that love has not left my heart for one moment since 1987. I'm not saying that's when I gave my life to Christ. I mean that was when we began to study. I read my first Christian literature in 1986. Get me clear. So I've read many things too. I've considered a lot of things. And I think most Christians don't know the meaning of hearing God. They don't. I'm being careful not to get, sidetracked into that now. I want to teach on total faith. All right? Why I'm just bringing up that issue is that, listen, it's not when you suddenly need something you suddenly start hearing God that has never spoken to you before. Most of those times, you hear nothing. Whatever you hear is confusion. You say, I know the voice of God when I hear it. So did Balaam. Balaam was good. Balaam was not even confused like most Christians are. He knew God spoke. It was a conversation. Yet he heard wrongly. How do I know he heard wrongly? Because as soon as he went out to obey God, An angel of God stopped to kill him. He heard wrongly. Now, what is the point I'm trying to make in all of that? All right, let me just not sit on it. I'm just going to emphasize the fact that hearing God, so to say, is not skills you develop to pick up certain frequencies. You persuade him to talk when he doesn't want to talk. No. You get your heart ready by obeying him all the time. You get your heart ready by obeying him all the time. That's what I'm going to say. It's a constant thing. It is a constant thing. You obey the word of God every time. Every moment. That is what gets you ready. When he now wants to speak, when speech is necessary, it's hardly necessary. All the years of Abraham, God spoke to him maybe like 4 or 5 times. It's hardly necessary. You have a Bible. Read it. Obey the principle. Listen to messages. You have come here today. Let me tell you the truth. God is talking to you. I do not speak of my own accord. I'm giving you the word of God. That is how to hear God. I say this jokingly, but I mean it seriously. A brother asked me, did God speak to you about the wife you married? I said, yes. He said, how did he say it? I said, the officiating priest said, I pronounce you man and wife. That's how you knew it was your wife. Yes, until that time, no, I wasn't sure. I was just trying. Once he prophesied, because it was officiating the marriage of a man of God, he had to prophesy. The anointing came upon him to prophesy. It was not a normal thing. It was my wedding. He had to prophesy. So when he spoke, it was God. The brother was surprised. I'm not saying God doesn't talk to people to marry. No, of course he does. I'm just trying to say that most of the times, what he expects is you sound principles to make decisions. Also, Chamber says that a normal child of God walking normally with God discerns the will of God without even knowing he's making any serious decision. What we need to do is clear our hearts so that we can do what pleases God. God sometimes speaks, oh God, I wish you understand this, our God, very well. Many people who talk about him don't understand him. When they say he's a father, they think that he's a bad father. What do you mean by a bad father? A bad father that spoils children, gives them anything they ask for. So they say he never says no. I don't know how we believe that. Because sometimes you are asking for things you should not have. And you should have the sense, the mind, the heart of a father to say, no, I won't give you that one. After all, Jesus told us clearly, there are times his will differs from your desires. True of us? I can prove it. He said, this cross is too hard. If it's possible, let it pass away from me. I don't want it. He said, nevertheless, your will. Jesus was saying, my desire and your will are two different things. Your will has to stand. Who says he does not say no? I am not saying that the fact that you have not received what you're asking for means he has said no. That's not what I'm saying. But that he does sometimes say no. I'm not making an issue here. When we're talking about the will of God, hearing God, listen. We use he's a father. We must understand how the father, his kind of father he is. He's a perfect father. That he reasons, he plans. He has rules, he has principles you walk by. If you are going wrong, now listen to this, this is a matter of fact. If you are making a decision, make sure all your decisions are based on sound spiritual principles. That's why we have to keep learning. That's why we can discern the will of God. That's why we can understand the will of God. That's what the Bible says. We can understand what the will of God is. Some people pray, God speak to me. Should I take this one or take that one? So, mentally, you know why God doesn't so-called speak directly? Because the so-called speak does not cause you to develop spiritually. Because there's something God does, two things he does in your life. One, he wants you to do what is right. Then he wants you to be able to educate people coming after you. If every time he just says, yes, no, you can't educate anybody. That's why people tell me that, what has God said to you? Sometimes we, Christian leaders, we actually shy away from being responsible in helping people. You say, you have to go and hear God for yourself. I knew that when I came to you. What I want is you to give me sound spiritual counsel. A brother came to me once. He wanted to propose to a woman. Just out of respect, he said, let me come and tell him. He said, sir, I was just thinking about this. I said, good, though. Then he told me one thing. I said, don't try it. He never married that girl till today. He didn't have the mouth to propose marriage again. Why? Because he told me something. I can't go into details now. And the moment I heard it, I said, this is wrong. You cannot propose marriage under these circumstances. He was shocked. I told him one or two things. With all the, he felt God spoke to him. When I opened my mouth and talked, he didn't hear God. Because I said to him, what are you about to do? You are breaking too many spiritual rules. A lady was talking to me once. He was engaged to a lady, to a brother. And we're talking and talking and talking. He does like this. And I said, what if? I said something. Can't remember exactly now. She now said, what if he says this and I don't agree? I said, if you can't trust him to make decisions, don't marry him. I don't know why that's why she broke the marriage engagement. I don't know. If you don't think a man can make decisions for you, you must be out of your mind telling him I do. I do what? People don't even know the word husband. Husband is not a boyfriend. Boyfriend and husband, two different things. Husband is not Mr. Nice Guy that's there. An ever-present help in the time of need. You know, that's God. But the way you don't. Are you married? You don't. That's why you're talking nonsense like that. If you were married, you would know. All the boys around are married. You know what I'm talking about. This is what I mean. When we're talking about what I mean by ever-present help, of course, I'm adapting that scripture. God is our ever-present help in the time. But when I want to yap women, I say, you know, you women, you treat husband like an ever-present help. Only in the time of need. If we don't need him, we don't remember him. That's the joke, isn't it? You know, a husband is not just an ever-present help. That is, the bulb is burnt. Your phone. Honey, where are you? The bulb has burnt. That's not what a husband is. He will do all of those things. I'm not saying he won't. But it's much more than that. He takes over spiritual authority from your father when you marry him. Before, if your father says no, you can't do something. Now, if this boy says no, you can't do it. Some people actually think their husband's word is an opinion. One of the things I taught to my wife was, listen, my girl, my word is not an opinion. It's your friends that have opinions. I don't have an opinion, I have a word. That's what people don't realize. Listen, girls, your husband's word is not an opinion. It's a word that carries power. You don't just discountenance it like he said nothing. So, if you are not ready for that, don't marry the guy. Don't marry him. No be fight. It's clear in the scriptures, being single may be far better than being married. It's there. We have many scriptures to show it. You know what I'm going to explain in all of these things? I want you to get the point. All right? Talking about principles. I told that woman that day, I said, listen, if this guy, if you don't trust him to make decisions for you, please don't marry him. And let me tell you guys, make it clear, any lady you want to marry, that you tend to be a husband, not a boyfriend. And please, I'm not talking about, yeah, I'm the boss. I mean, you have to be responsible. You have to use your head well. Enough watching of football, it will make you a good husband. You can't spend all your time watching football and you want to be a good husband. For goodness sake, and I'm being practical about this. Change the channels. Watch things that make you speak and your words have respect in the home. You don't be talking like that anytime you want to talk. All you know, you grumble like the whole generations of the earth above well. And you respect your wife. She will still respect you, but don't make the work hard. We shouldn't be honoring and respecting you by force. As I'm praying, say, Lord, this is my husband. You know, he's in a book waiting for you. Please, don't make her work hard. Sharpen your spiritual senses. Read scriptures. Let her call you and say, please, I'm confused. What does God want us to do? I'll be getting my point. It's not, you know, the apostle, there's one problem with marriage seminars, marriage talk. Once you get there, the spirits will hold you down. All their spirits just grab you like this. Say, you know, they go, you will not go until you have blessed us. You hold your trouser like this. Give me my hem of garment. Let me preach my message. The Lord is good. Now, please, let me just get back to it. So I'm just trying to bring out an issue here. That where I went into that, trying to explain to her, I just told a lady something. I told a guy something based on spiritual principles. And that was the word of God. Follow what is right all the time. I remember I was saying something about God being a father. When you want to go wrong, he can't stop you. What is the will of God? My pastor will say those is in Lagos. He said, do the right things. The consequence is the will of God. I hope you're getting my point. Do what is right. The consequence is the will of God. Follow precepts. Follow divine principles. Follow divine order. Do what is right all the time. That is when you will know that you are discerning the will of God accurately. If God has to interpose with a special manifestation like a voice or a dream or vision, he will. I'm talking about total faith. Let me not forget what I'm talking about. The fact that faith is total. I'm just using this as an example. That hearing God also is total. It's something we do every day. We follow the word of God every time. We follow it every day. We walk by precepts, by divine principles every time. And when he has to speak, he knows how to speak. That's what I'm preaching. Total faith. So I've been saying, faith is not something that we pick up only when we need something. Faith is how we live all the time. And great faith comes to us when we operate by our mustard seed faith every single time. That is how great faith comes to us. Our faith is strong if we operate, listen, by the mustard seed faith all the time. In little decisions, we operate by faith. When you need to lose small money, lose it by faith. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's when you sow your seeds of faith. That is when you sow your seeds of faith. So that one day, without even realizing it, you look at a tree and say, this tree is useless. Nobody will eat from it again. And you pass. And the tree will wither. Please go and listen to our series again, The Habitation of God. I explained this thing a lot in there. Especially when I'm talking about words. Having a heart that can receive the divine presence. Preparing your life so that God can dwell in it. So that when you open your mouth to speak, it's God that's talking. It's the same line that we're discussing. It's something like that. So that we're talking about total faith. Faith has to be continual and all round if it's going to be strong. And that's how we began to look at that issue of finances last time. Let me get back to it now. I made a statement. Let me just repeat it again. If faith will be strong in a time of trouble, it must have been built in the time of peace. God gives us times of peace so we build up our faith. That is, we make decisions when we're not in distress. When the decision is just on small things. Nobody is saying, go into the fiery furnace if you don't bow to an idol. He's just saying that this is food offered to that idol. And this is food that is clean. Choose one. No pressure there. You make your choice concerning ordinary food. That's what I mean. Now, let's continue from that point, just reviewing and amplifying some things that we have said. Did I say we should open somewhere? Yes, our text scripture for today. The book of Galatians chapter 6. I want to continue what I began to explain last time about total faith for finances. The book of Galatians chapter 6. Now, in the book of Galatians, Paul was saying many things. Many of them were kind of single points. And that's towards this particular portion. In verse 1, it said, brethren, if anyone is caught in a trespass, he was talking earlier about walking in the spirit. So he was just saying, if somebody goes wrong, this is how to handle the fellow. He explained it to them. He said, what you do is you bear one another's burdens of that falling into trespass. Restore the fellow. And I went ahead in verse 4. He said, but each one must examine his own work. And then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. That is, not comparing himself with another. You can boast of your own personal improvement in life. For each one will carry his own load. That's it. I'm not saying it will go into the issue of you live all your life for yourself. It said in verse 6, the one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches. Now let's look down in verse 7. He said, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart, he says, in doing good, for in due time we will reap, if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, let me just stop reading this one here. I want to bring out an issue here. My most important verses here are verses 7 and 8. He said, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. And the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Now, there's another scripture I want to read, all right? Maybe it will help me if I can quickly find it. It just came to my mind as I began to, as we just began to study now. Please open your Bibles to the book of Proverbs chapter 1. I want to bring out something here. Because the portion I want to refer to is quite long, so I'm going to read and jump, all right, here and there, so as to save time. From verse 20, Solomon says, wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. Now, you'll notice I'll just be leaping beyond some lines. What I'm trying to do is to save time, okay? Verse 22, he said, how long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And fools hate knowledge. He said in verse 23, turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. He said, verse 24, because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm. In verse 28, he said, then they will call, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently at that time, but they will not find me. What is the reason? Because they hated knowledge. And they did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. Let me just complete reading. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely, and we'll be at ease from the dread of evil. Now, there's a reason why I read this. It's very important. I've been emphasizing the fact that life has seed time and harvest. Harvest time. Let me just emphasize this to us again. God is very good. Amen? Amen. But because life has seed time, harvest, life has seasons, it is not everything that we do. All right? That will work if we do them out of the season. I don't know whether you're getting my point. There are things you're doing, they won't work simply because the season is not right. And this is one of the most dangerous messages. I don't even like preaching it, but I have to. Because sometimes it scares me myself to realize that you don't have all the time in life to make the right choices for God. That is concerning serving Him. You don't have all the time. God counts time, literally physical years. He can say by the year 2018, if this boy, if this girl, if this young man, this young woman hasn't done this concerning making the right choice in following me, I will cap the fellow at this particular level. Now, years later, he or she will be struggling, but a barrier has been built over his head. He can't break through it. And that was decided 20 years before. The fellow does not know. These are realities. From the time you start hearing God's word, you don't have forever to make right choices. Jesus said there's what is called the time of your visitation. People think it's any time you just get up God, because God is merciful. That's what Solomon was saying here. Wisdom said, right now I'm crying. And listen, John the Baptist, who I said represented the first and second days of the Lord Jesus, who was the third day of the visitation of God, he did not do any mighty work. All he did was to preach upon known laws and prophecies. Everybody understood repentance, but he came and preached it with a new force. When Jesus came to start healing the sick, those who did not listen to John got nothing from him. They would struggle to believe, they couldn't believe. Because the time you sowed the seed for believing was why John was around. Jesus looked at Jerusalem. He said, Jerusalem did not understand the time of his visitation. That God said, listen, this is the time I'm preparing you for what I will do later in your life. Listen, listen. Go and read my book, Choice is Key to Destiny. Then, Beyond Gifts and Talents. Read those books, please. That's the reason I'm recommending them. You don't have all the time in life as a believer to make the right choices. Today is the day of salvation. You don't have all the time. You can't live what is doing what is right till tomorrow. Think tomorrow, two things happen to you tomorrow. One, it may never come. It may also be too late. Unfortunately, when it is too late, you won't even know it's too late. There's a reason why I'm raising all of these things. You see here in the book of Proverbs, Solomon was saying, he was speaking for God. He said, wisdom is calling. And wisdom said, you have the time to listen to me. The time you will need me desperately, maybe the time I will not listen to you. Why? Because you were supposed to sow the seeds for me to hear you later at a particular point in time. And but this is what Satan does. Satan gets us distracted. He gives us other forms of wisdom. Please bear this in mind. I can't develop in details, but I'm trying to use it to set up something. I'm talking about total faith for finances. Now listen to this. I'm not gotten to my message. All of this is recapping. All right, just trying to recapitulate what we said earlier, trying to amplify, establish certain principles, and then now I can get into the main thing I want to say. We read from that book of Galatians chapter, 6. What was it that we read there? The fact that life has different force fields. Let me put it like that. Last time I was talking about seed. That money as a seed cannot be sown into the realm of the spirit. That is why you cannot give Naira and say, God must give me money back. It doesn't work like that. You can give money and God gives you your life back. You can give money and God gives you a wife. You can give money and God gives you a child. You can give money and God delivers your child from death. It doesn't tie that physical, if I sow money, I reap money. That is why I don't believe it won't be, because it's not scriptural, that if I want to prosper, be giving money. It doesn't work like that. I said to us before that what the spiritual realm sees is the adjective that qualifies the money you give. Is it a money of love? Is it a gift of honor? The Shunammite woman gave to Elisha as honor. And God gave back to her. He said, he that honors me, I will honor. He didn't give her money. He didn't give her a house. Elisha, speaking for God, said, what do you need? The woman said to him, nothing. I don't need anything. It was the prophet's servant that said, she needs a child. He said, call her here. And he prophesied a son into her life. Honor was what she gave. If God chooses to give you the very thing you gave back, it doesn't make it a law. What it just simply said is, if he that shows mercy, we obtain what? Mercy. So you see, it's a spiritual substance. The physical substance is what carries the mercy. But it is what is inside that enters into the realm of the spirit. Please bear that in mind. I said that last time, okay? Now this is why I'm saying all of this. I said that to bring out an issue that life has different fields. The field of physical finances is different. That one is market, is banks, is stock exchange. If you want to sow physical corn as a seed, you have to go into physical soil. But if you want to sow physical corn as a spiritual seed, it is why you are giving the corn that becomes an issue. You get my point here? Now, so you see there's physical field, there's spiritual field, there's financial field, all right? There are different fields. Now, this is how it is. The kind of field you are sowing into in life determines what you get out of life. And that's what Paul said there in that book of Galatians. He said, he that sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. That is, you can sow to the flesh and you can sow to the spirit. You choose one. And this is how it is for us believers. We must be careful that whatever we are doing, we are doing as sowing to the spirit. That's why Paul even tells you that even if you are working, don't think that you are working for the government. Look at it like you are working for God. Are you seeing my point there? Because sometimes you go to the office. I mean, I work in government circles. You know, if I eventually any office. Those days, my wife used to work in the bank. She had the boss. That everything he said, anything you do, he said, it's an appraisal matter. So people liked to do eye service for him because it's an appraisal matter. So when Paul was going to teach us believers, he said, no, never do anything like that. Anything you are doing, just assume that God is on the other side and you are doing it towards him. That is what it means when he says, so to what? The spirit. So to the flesh. When the boss is around, they do, yes sir, yes sir, yes sir. Now, there's a reason why I'm going through all of these things. I'm going to explain that. So that's how we sow to the spirit or sow to the flesh. We can be doing the same things, two people doing the same things, but one is entering into the realm of the spirit, the other is entering into the realm of the flesh. That's just what I'm going to explain. The motives, the propelling force behind what you do is what decides whether you are going into the realm of the spirit or you are sowing into the realm of the flesh. And if you sow into the realm of the flesh, he said you reap corruption. Please bear this in mind. He said, what has this got to do with total faith for finances? Now let's get back to it. Again, when it comes to financial matters, now I'm sitting on it now. Faith for finances, I've said many things, you'll be able to tie them together. Faith for finances, I began that last week, is not when you need money that suddenly you find faith you did not have in the time of your peace. Remember that? I explained last time that, listen, Paul, we read that from 1 Timothy chapter 6, right? Now, 1 Timothy chapter 6, we read that Paul wrote to Timothy that he should instruct those who are rich in this world not to put their hope in their money, but to put the hope in God. And we said, what does that mean? That is a practical manifestation, is that when a man's hope is not in his money, if his faith is not in the material things he has, Paul said, you will discover generosity. Readiness to share. That's in verse 17. You find generosity, readiness to share. And I said, being a cheerful giver is not like the man is trying to give money so as to get more. It's because he says, my faith is not in my money. You are getting my point? So when he's in distress, it is not as if God says, I have seen the money you give. God is just saying, your faith was never in your money. You exercised faith when you had money, and it manifested in your generosity. So that when you don't have money, your faith is strong. It was built when you had. Are you getting what I'm going to explain here? And that's why I wrote the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I said in that book, the widow of Zarephath, that Elijah went to her house when the brook where he was dried. Now, you find out that woman, we keep on asking ourselves, why did she believe Elijah? A man you do not know walks up to you and says to you, I am a prophet. Give me water to drink. And you are going to the house to go and get the water. Then suddenly he turns around and said, it's not only water, oh please. You need to bring something with which I will drink the water. Then you tell the man, sir, all I have left is this food. That is just enough for two people. You know the story now, of course. Then the man now says, all right. He said, my son and I are supposed to share it. And that's the last meal. He said, go and make for me first. When you have finished making my own, and I've finished eating, you cannot go and make for your son and yourself. Because thus says the Lord. Before I came here, the Lord spoke to me that food will never finish. As my God lives, this is modern days. You've heard that in every time. You've heard it. What happened? Nothing. Some people have gone to recover their offering. People have done it now. Say, sir, that day when you preached that message, I gave 100,000. That was 9 months ago. You said in 2 weeks. I waited. But since the deal did not work, this has happened again and again. It has happened again and again. Now, and don't think it is today it started. Those days, there were jobless guys going around claiming to be prophets. There are all kinds of prophets in town. You, listen, if you believe every prophet, it is not because you are spiritual, it's because you are gullible. For everybody that says, thus says the Lord, you believe him. Don't think you are spiritual. You are gullible. Don't think you are walking in the spirit. Everybody that just comes to town, God spoke to me. You know, for a long time, I was very patient. The word is patient, right? Yes, I used to, when they come on TV, God said. I said, maybe he said. Now I know he's a lie. Even God said it himself. I did not send this man, yet they ran. It's in the Bible. Two prophets prophesying at the same time. He said, in 2 years, thus says the Lord. He said, God said, in 2 years, thus will the yoke of Babylon be broken. Jeremiah came back and said, let me tell you what God really said. You have broken the yoke of wood. I will replace it with that of iron. Incidentally, Jeremiah was a smaller boy. The other prophet was an experienced man, had the largest church in town. Cathedral was big. And he stood up with priestly robes, or prophetic robes, and said, thus says the Lord, in 2 years, all your problems are over. Jeremiah said, let me just tell you. God said, it's exactly 70 years. And if you want to enjoy life, when the Babylonians come, follow them. That I will not defend this city. Jeremiah explained it clearly. I will not defend the cities, says the Lord. The only way I will give you anything is if you will follow the Babylonians. Because I know the plan I have for you. Plans of good and not of evil. To give you a future and a hope. But that will be in Babylon. He said, for 70 years, this land will enjoy its Sabbaths. There are people who fight me that I say some prophets are false. Yes, some prophets are false. So please, you can't just go around town believing every joker. After all, last time I had prophecies written clearly, published in the newspapers, that good Lord Jonathan will win the election. Anyway, let me not sit on prophets. So the point I'm making is this. So with all this knowledge of false prophets all over the place, why will Elijah just show up and a woman will believe? That's what I'm going to explain. Many people have believed, they've gotten nothing. It's a very common thing these days. Prophets will come and say, the Lord said to me, go and clear your account. Once you clear your account, your miracle will come. Let me just quickly drop something for you again. I try to help people. All right, if you are listening to this, I'm trying to help you. I don't mean to be quarrelsome. I just have to tell the truth. And if I'm afraid to tell the truth, God will not be angry with me. So I would rather you be angry with me than the Lord be angry with me. Okay? Once the prophet said, bring the money to him, be afraid. When he said, clear your account, what should I do with the money? Bring it here. Don't agree. You say, why? Jesus said, go and give it to the poor. Jesus used to do clear your account too. I hope you know that. He also used to do clear your account. He used to do it. The only problem is that he was careful. You say, clear your account, give it to the poor. Then come back, we'll talk. This is the reason we watch out. Then next, don't ever give money because of the promised reward. Give it because you feel like, this is a true man of God, let me bless him. This is a true work of God, let me bless it. These are real needy people, let me help them. Those are the reasons you give. If you start sowing a seed so that this year will be good, the year is bad already. If you want the year to be good, you know what to do? Ask God to bless it. I hope you got to my point. But back to the widow of Zarephath. Why did she believe Elijah? Please go and read the book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. Why did she believe Elijah? I explained in that book. And what I'm bringing out from here again today is that that was not the reason she believed Elijah was because that was not her first day of giving. Yeah, that's the summary. Why did she believe Elijah? That was not her first day of giving. Her sacrificial giving did not start that day. Elijah heard her, in quote, her name. I don't know how many miles away. God said, you will go to Zarephath. I have prepared a widow there to take care of you. What does that tell you? There was something that brought Elijah to that door. I always like to ask the question, could a neighboring widow have given her last meal to Elijah and gotten that same miracle? The answer is an obvious no. Why do we know it's a no? Because God said to Elijah, I am not saying just go around random. There is a particular widow that's waiting for you. She doesn't even know it. And Jesus taught us later that Elijah, that the widow did not sustain Elijah. Elijah sustained the widow. That's what Jesus taught us later. He said there were many widows also in Israel. None received any miracle. He said to none was Elijah sent, but to that one in Zarephath. What does that tell you? It was for her good. Just like Naaman was blessed by Elisha, so also was that widow blessed by Elijah. This is my persuasion. The woman was given when she had. When there was no famine, hungry people saw food there. Do you get my point? Yes, they saw food there. So in the time of her distress, she cried to God and God heard. God was not just looking for some. He said, the eyes of the Lord run through and fro to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. That woman's heart was reaching out for God. That was the major reason. You say, why did she now believe that way? Remember we said faith works by love. God poured the spirit of faith into her and she had responded before she knew she was responding. The second thing, which is the same love still manifesting, is that Elijah was obviously hungry. So the woman must have reasoned. This is how I understand it. Now listen, even if he's a false prophet, he's a hungry one. His hunger is not in doubt. I don't know whether you're getting my point. See, his prophecy may be in doubt. His hunger is not in doubt. If a man comes to you and says to you, God said you should give me money. You now say to him, why should I give you money? Because God says so. He says, sir, God said, I should go and meet you. I've not eaten for 2 days. And God said, you are the one that will feed me. Don't argue about his spirituality. Once you heard, I've not eaten for 2 days, hold on to that one and give him a meal. You don't need to be arguing on whether, did you really hear God? Some people say, go away. That's how people be embarrassing the name of God. Embarrassing the name of God. Oh boy, you just sent away a hungry man. Forget all this one of embarrassing the name of God. The guy is visibly hungry. I told you about the lesson I learned once. I was in my cousin's office in Lagos and a man came in telling stories. In Lagos, my streetwise auntie gave the man money. And I said, auntie, how could you do that? Can't you see he's lying? He said, I forget it. They're always telling lies. So why did you give him? He said, he's obviously hungry. In the same manner, one day I was in the lobby of a hotel. My friends and I went somewhere to do something. We were waiting for somebody. And a woman, a guest house. We went to do something somewhere, in Benin. And a woman came in, kind of little child. And I said, sorry, sirs. I'm so sorry. Sorry to embarrass you. He started telling one long story. Talk to my friend first. By the time she finished, of course she was telling lies. So my friend just waved her away. So I called her back. I said, what did you say? She repeated the story. So I did my hand in my pocket and gave her the money. And then she left. So my friend said, am I missing something? Because he knows me very well. He said, am I missing something? You believe her? I said, of course I don't believe her. Of course, you know, I've learned my lesson from that other experience. I said, of course I don't believe her. I said, I think she was pregnant or something. I'm not even sure. I said, but that woman, you could see that this woman was in distress. This is not about whether she's a regular beggar or not. She was in distress. I said, this one, let her go and buy something to eat. It's so important that she doesn't go home and say, God, and I begged you for food in the morning. And God said, so what happened? I met some two guys. They said, give me the name of one of them. They're one black guy that... I said, I beg you, I'm not fish out. I don't want trouble for my soul. Listen, if you see somebody that's really hungry, calls you at night, feed him. Otherwise, you will dream bad dream. I know why I'm telling you what I'm telling you. These are the secrets to sleeping well. Oh, the Lord is good. I'm trying to get to what I'm trying to say, you know, but I'm saying so many things. I hope you have been blessed anyway. Now, so this is the point I'm making here. So you see, this is very important to understand what it means to sow to the Spirit. All right? Now, please, I'm trying to reach a particular point. So that woman gave to Elijah because she was a habitual sower to the Spirit. So it was based on that same thing that she gave to Elijah, not because the man promised something out of the blues. If that was it, it was a great risk. Why she was able to, in quote, take that risk was because she was used to giving to people. So please bear this in mind. In life, you can sow to the Spirit or sow to the flesh. So you see, don't even think it's that last moment that breakthrough began. That's my emphasis. It's not that last moment that breakthrough began. It's something that's been going on for a very long time. Now let's emphasize this issue. I'm trying to explain something about total faith for finances. Now, talking about different systems, different fields, I said all of this to emphasize the field matter. Now, there is something I want you to bear in mind. When it comes to finances, there is a spiritual field and there is a field of the world. That's my message for today. I read that Proverbs chapter 1, okay, to bring out something. People make this mistake. They key into the worldly field. All their seeds are in the worldly field. Then when they are in distress, they want to tap into the realm of the Spirit and get a reward. And God says, no. He that sows to the flesh, if you sow into the worldly system, listen, there's a scripture I'd like to read. Quickly, let's read it. It's a very important scripture. 1 John chapter 2. I want to use it to explain something. Let me read from verse around 15. John said to us, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. Now, please, this is an important point. I said you can, in life, you choose the field you want to operate in. That's the summary of what I've been saying. All right? Everything I've been saying, that's the summary. You choose the field. How am I living my life? Am I sowing into the realm of the Spirit on a habitual basis? Or am I sowing into the flesh? I want to digress for 1 minute and just bring out something I said earlier. Take this. Okay, we'll talk about it later. Health matter. How do I tap? What is my mechanism for getting my health together? Am I so emphatic on diet and exercise, which is all the world preaches? But the word of God helps us to know that is far beyond diet and exercise. For example, honoring your parents promises long life. No matter what you eat well and jog well, if you are a routine dishonorer of parents and elders, you will have a short life. Your muscles can be healthy. You can be trim. No abnormal fat in your body. Cholesterol, normal level. Blood pressure, normal level. Sugar, normal level. But car accident, plenty level. Just be going on the road. You just have an accident and just die. And you get to heaven and say, why did he die? He said, we tried to save his life, but the dishonor in his life was too much. All the things speaking against, there was nobody interceding for him. When his mother wants to pray, his mother will say, see, Emeka has forgotten me, God. She does not know she's accusing him before God. And she doesn't know. So one will say, sowing to the Spirit, therefore, as opposed to sowing to the flesh, is we understand that spiritual things matter. Like I say all the time, we do spiritual jogging. Your body pains you. You don't start with, you know, it's my age. How do you know it's your age? Because somebody lied to you. He said, they were not telling lies. Listen, once you speak against God, you are lying. God said, these people conspired against me. That's what he said about the 10 spies. God says that if you are a righteous person, which Jesus has made you in him, he said, you will be old, he said, and full of sap. He said, you will be like a palm tree. You will flourish in the courts of the Lord. These are the things he said about you. So, if you're having joint pains, don't give it, say, listen, it's my age. Say, it's trying me. Don't even try and describe where it came from. Speak to it, say, joint, I don't like pain like this. I like peace of mind. So, in Jesus' name, be healed. No explanation as, you know, I'm getting old. You forget something today, he says, because you are getting old. What about children? Send children on errand. You know who's more forgetful. You tell the child, go upstairs, go to my room, bring my phone for me. As he's going, he turns his face and sees Tom and Jerry on television. Boom! He stops there. After a while, he shouts, victory! Yes, mommy. Where's my phone? Oh, sorry. Then he goes to go and get the phone. And he's not old. Why do old men forget? I'll tell you. Because so many things to remember. So the mind starts removing things that it doesn't think are crucial. I don't forget because I'm getting old. I forget because there are so many things to remember. I won't make any excuse. Nobody should come and donate Alzheimer's into my life when Jesus died to remove it from my life. I hope you're getting my point. I'm talking about sowing to the Spirit. That's a digression. All right. I know people get blessed by those small side trips. Back to the main thing I'm saying. Now, I said finances. Okay. I've established all of these things. Let's not try and think that we can sow to this flesh and then reap from the Spirit. Let's not try and think that we will refuse to plant the proper seeds, then the time of harvest, we want reward. And that is what a lot of people capitalize on. They tell people that, listen, you will give one offering, your life won't be the same again. I came to tell you today, it doesn't work like that. If you want financial miracles, if you want divine power in the realm of finances, you have to live all the time by sowing into the realm of the Spirit in the area of your finances. Let me explain what I'm saying about the world. I'll talk about the world first. And listen to me. I said something earlier. Being a Christian is not a joke. What did I say? Say it so I know you heard me well. Being a Christian is not a joke. Sometimes you will do things that make you look like you are going to perish. You will see what I said in a moment. I read that 1 John chapter 2. The world is what you watch on CNN every day. The world is what you read in the newspapers every day. The world is what you read in the news media every day, internet. That's what is called the world. And the world has a system. And that system will always collapse. And listen to me, and everybody that has faith in it. I read the scripture from that book of Proverbs chapter 1 to emphasize something. If in the time that wisdom is calling, follow me, you follow the world. When the world collapses, listen to the word of God. You will collapse with it. The only thing that God will do for you is to save your life and give you a new start. But you are going down. Let me give a practical example. For those of us in Nigeria, it's not very practical, but we know enough to be able to relate with it. Abroad, they have a worldly system, which is called credit cards. The credit card in itself is not a bad thing. If you know the concept behind it, it's actually good. In itself, it's very good. What it simply means is that, assuming that I'm supposed to save up money to buy a car, and it takes me a year, they give you the car at the beginning of the year, then give us the money the whole year. I hope you get my point. So I've saved me the money of taxes for a whole year. Look at house matter also. Assuming I needed to save money for 10 years to be able to build a house, for that 10 years, I'll be paying rent. So they say, okay, take the house at the beginning. Let your rent not be paying off your mortgage. It's not really, some people say you have to pay cash, but cash is good, but some people don't have the cash. What they can get if they don't have the cash by spiritual operation is discipline. That is what a lot of people don't have. Because I said to you before, everything that has an advantage, everything you have in life has a risk. The risk of using your credit card to buy things that oftentimes people buy what they don't need, simply because it's easy to afford it. That is what they now call sowing to the flesh. Now, don't forget something. In the flesh, in the world, there is the loss of the eyes, the loss of the flesh, and what? The pride of life. So, all the companies of the world, let me say, to be wrong to say all, most of the companies of the world, they are entrenched in the world, in the world system. What do I mean? Read the report. It's always on growth, sales. They keep on pushing themselves so that even if the sale is not real, they have to create it. For example, this year, as at last week or this week, Samsung Galaxy S7 has been released. I don't know when it's going on sale. Over the next few weeks, it's going to be on sale. Apple will release iPhone 7 before this year is over. Samsung released Note 5 a few months ago. A few weeks after some of us bought Note 4. Do you get my point? Do you know there are people that can't just use the old one? They just can't. Why does Apple release Note this and 7, 8 every year, or Samsung releases 3, 4, 5, 6 every year? Listen, there is next to no improvement. In fact, I read the reviews on this S7 and all of that came out. And they said you can hardly tell it different from S6. They have reached a point now where everything has been maxed out. They tell you that the Note 5, the stylus releases by pressing. The other one you have to pull. I'm happy you are laughing. Because so what? But they keep on bringing new brands. Oh, Honda, I don't know about now. Those days, they have to change their body every year. Listen to me, you know what they're appealing to? The lust of the eyes and the pride of life. People just cannot settle. Or more, which model is your own? It's called the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. The pride side is to let somebody know that my car is newer than your own. My phone is more up to date than your own. People use phones, they don't know what it does. They don't know what 99% of the functions are. They just carry it. The companies of the world use that system. They are under pressure also to sell more, to please the shareholders. A company like Apple has a problem right now. You know their problem? They are the world's most capitalized company. Now the drive now is you must remain there. I feel sorry for is it Tom or Tim Cook? The one that's their CEO. Because everybody's like, if the company goes down small, they'll remember Steve Jobs. So they are under pressure to just invent something new. I'm not going to tell you what they call the system of the world. Some people now say, oh, this stock is doing well. They start pouring money into that stock because the stock is operating well, the system of the world. And I want to say to you, no matter how much faith you have, if it's going down, you are going down with it. The world has its systems. Listen, the time that the world shook a few years ago because of the collapse of the mortgage system in America, it affected everybody in the world. The only thing that happened was that men were so greedy. I don't want to go into explain the details now. But people were buying houses they could not afford. Who sold it to them? I'll tell you. The bank sold it to them because they had to make profit. So they sold houses to everybody that could afford the houses. They had to make more money. So what do we do? They started doing what they call subprime lending. That is, they lend you money even though they know you can't pay. Have you heard that kind of thing before? They know you can't pay. They say, why do I have to take it? Say, don't worry. The value is going up. So just buy it now. Pay the $4,000 a month for 10 months, then you sell it. By that time, you'll have left $500,000 to now be going for, $700,000. And then your greed, you will collect it. Except that at the end of 6 months, the value went down to $300,000 because many muguns like yourself had keyed into it, and that's it. I watch TV that time now. You see men living inside containers who have lived in decent houses all their lives. Please listen to me. You cannot start demanding of God, deliver me by a miracle. God said, you are very stupid. When I was calling, why did you not answer? Wisdom said, was I now shouting to you that time that live within your means?
Did I not shout to you that Paul said, I have learned how to be the same independent of my circumstances. I have learned to bear abundance. I have learned how to bear poverty. In life as a whole and under in circumstances, I have learned how to be the same. I can do all of this through Christ who strengthens me. Did your pastor not teach it in church? You left that church, went to a church where the pastor said, just sow a seed before the end of the year. You believe in a bigger house. Listen, the gospel you hear depends on whether you are covetous or you are not. Listen, many of these lies people believe, they themselves are greedy. The prophets are only half of the problem. They themselves are greedy. What are you doing? Why should you be a millionaire by the end of the year? How many people have you blessed? You are leaving university today. You want to be a millionaire tomorrow. Why? He said, I'm calling them by faith. My faith can say it. My God can do anything. Yes, including beating you when you misbehave. You don't know that the crop produces first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. You don't know that life has stages. Life has seasons. And that's the small boy said he's sowing his phone so that God can give him a car. And God said, fine. I will collect that phone. I will not give you anything. No recharge card. Why? I want you to live without a phone. You'll not be angry with the prophet who collected it. God said, it's not the prophet. It is you. I prevailed upon the prophet to prophesy to you. I'm talking about systems of the world. Total faith for finances. You cannot put your trust. I've said something, like I said, being a Christian is not a joke. For example, Jesus said some things clearly, which are divine principles. He said, do not lay up treasure on the earth. There is no way you want to explain it. You can't lay up treasure on the earth. I'm saving up more money so that one day when I'm retiring, I will have plenty of money. You have broken a spiritual law. Listen, if that worldly system goes down, you are going down. We saw what happened to Dollar the other day. I felt like a prophet. Apostle, you know what? Why? That, you know, he nipped 400 and then ran back. Now, why am I telling this story? 1 week, dollar was selling for 320 naira. The following week, it has reached 380, 390, almost hitting 400. Then in 1 or 2 days, it dropped rapidly that the malams, the parallel market, they were buying it for 230 in at least Warri and Lagos, where I got information from. If you wanted to buy, they would sell at 280. But it was so volatile, they said they are not buying, unless you are willing to sell at 230. That was their way of saying that carry your dollar away, we don't want. Now, what am I telling the story? Why did it happen like that? I read this day article that time. I forwarded to some of my brethren to read on what happened. It was simply because the president made two decisions and said some things. One, they were so sure that week he will agree to devalue the naira. Then they went to Saudi and said, I'm not doing anything like that. At the same time, they expected the central bank to put a restriction on the amount of money they sold to people who are abroad for school fees. CBN did not do that. So they were waiting that we will make money when guys start scrambling for their children's school fees and all of that. Except that CBN said, no, come, we'll give you money for your school fees. So suddenly, some people panicked and they shielded. They sold off what they had gathered. The rest realized that it was going down. Of course, they just offloaded all of the stores. And that was why it tumbled from almost 400 to less than 300 in like 24 to 48 hours. Why am I telling this story? No matter how spiritual you are, if greed had pushed you into speculating on dollar, God will have no mercy on you. Because he said it himself, he that herds grain, the people will curse him. It's in the Bible. One of the things American preachers preach against all the time are Americans that are in debt and they still have credit cards. You are owing money. You are still borrowing money. And then some preachers went around preaching supernatural debt cancellation. Listen, God does not reward bad behavior. I keep on saying that thing. God does not reward bad behavior. You cannot get up, borrow money you don't have, wear clothes. You see, you'll be wearing suits that only those who earn 10 times what you earn are wearing. And you say you are wearing it by faith. No, you are wearing it by foolishness. Paul said, I've learned to go hungry. He didn't say, I learned to call food anytime. When they told Jesus, turn the stones to bread, he said, these are the spoil things. They'll just be turning their stones to bread. If you're a preacher, never, I keep on warning. Never, ever turn your stones to bread. Our preachers do it now. They know they will come to church and raise special offering. So they spend money recklessly. Some people, that's what they know to do. Spend money recklessly because they know they can go around begging everybody else and explain that, you know, I'm broke. Why are you broke? I don't know. I'll tell you two stories that will make you angry, if I've not told you before. One day, a colleague of mine, somebody stopped him. So he told me later, do you know what that person stopped me for? I said, what? He said, the person said, please, can you give me 5,000? I want to buy my drugs. Fellow has some chronic health condition. He said, you know, this is my house project. It's taking all my money. Did you hear what I said? I told you one day somebody died. And they said they were burying him, went to the village to bury. When I saw his house, I said, man, this guy gave money like this. And all the days when he was alive, he used to obtain me every time. Because I thought I was a good Christian. I loved my neighbor. Listen, I'm talking about total faith for finances. This is why God can't answer many prayers of finances. You are using miracle cosmetics and you are paying small, small. May you react in Jesus' name. You need a rash under your face. You do. You need a rash. God needs to give you special allergy to miracle. After David said this, he said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now I obey your word. There are things you shouldn't do. You buy shirt. After 3 months, you are still paying. 6 months, you are still paying. Those are the kind of shirts you sow as seed. You will remove the shirt and say, this shirt, Lord, I'm sorry I was foolish. But to show you I've repented, I won't wear it again. You wash it, starch it, iron it. Go to one church and they say, any special seed? Yes, I have. Drop the shirt there. Say, give it to somebody who needs. As a sign of my repentance. God cannot help you pay up debts that you don't need. Debts you acquired, you know, on things you did not need. That's not faith. Faith doesn't give you money first. Faith first teaches you how to manage your life. Until God can persuade you that trekking does not kill, he's not giving you a car. Until you can trek with pride and be dancing on the road, say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I said, Brother Uchi, how are you? Say, I'm fine. Where are you going? I just want to take a stroll to Ogbete. Where's your car? I don't have one, my brother. You stop a bus, enter it with joy, enter Keke Napep, you know, this heat period, the blowing you extra air conditioning. And you finish, you get pure water, wash your face. And you get back home, you're not complaining. I say, God, you know, my mess, I enter air conditioning. Any day you pray like that, 1 year added to your suffering. You rejoice and be glad. That is the first thing faith does for you. Go and read Paul, Philippians chapter 4. He said, be careful for nothing. What's next he said? He said, with what? With all prayer, with thanks, supplications, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. What's the next thing? God will not supply your request? No. He said, the peace of God that passes all understanding. That's what God gives you first. God doesn't start with answering the request. The first thing he does is to give you the peace that passes all understanding. He does that first before he gives you anything. Until you have received that peace that passes all understanding, you are not getting anything. Total faith for finances. It's been wrong faith that we have been taught or that we have practiced. Think we'll just get up, the world will give us its systems. We sow to the flesh. We follow the world. We are afraid of tomorrow. We keep our money with the world. Jesus said, moth will destroy it. Thieves will break in and steal. That's what he said. Then after we've obeyed the world, we now turn around to God. Say, God, give me a small miracle now. Any miracle for your boy? I said, no. If you want my faith, my miracles, If you want to use your faith to tap into finances, it has to be all round. You have to operate kingdom principles when it comes to your business. You have to operate kingdom principles when it comes to your money. You must never, never follow the principles of the world. Many of these people teach, and they call it financial principles. I said, these are worldly principles. They say, save 10%, spend 10%. That is not in the Bible. As nice as it seems. He said, Pastor Mark, should I spend everything? Listen, the Bible says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I'm not saying be wasteful. I didn't say that. Prudence is one of the principles of the Spirit. One of the principles of the Spirit is prudence. You don't just get up and be eating money anyhow. However, when there's need for money, you use it. Is it wrong to put money aside for something? That is not tomorrow. That is the day. Let me give you an example. My rent is due in 3 months' time. I know how much I'm supposed to pay. It is irresponsible if I want to go and beg my landlord, sorry, you. I have the money. I don't know whether I get my point. Yes, let me say something I taught before, because people misunderstand me. It's what I call the principle of the day. The day, that is a day. A day is not 24 hours alone. For example, say this is the day that the Lord has made. He was talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A day is not just 24 hours. I gave as an example before, if I enter into university, I'm studying a course for 4 years. 4 years is a day. Life is broken into seasons. So each season is a day. Are you getting my point? In the same manner, your life on a day-to-day basis, there are things that are literal for the 24 hours. Some of them are in a week. For example, if you pay staff monthly, you have a monthly day. You are getting my point?
Yes, sir.
You have bills that accrue every month, there's a monthly day. The other parts of your life that can be yearly, and it's a day. You must learn to take care of each day. I'm going somewhere. Listen. The world teaches us a system. Lay up your treasure on the earth. Be careful and buy insecticide so that moth will not destroy. Be careful and get good burglar proofs so that thieves will not break in and steal. But lay up your treasure on the earth. Jesus said, you can't lay up your treasure on the earth. I told you, being a believer sometimes makes you look so stupid. You can't. Believers don't save up for tomorrow. They don't. They handle. Jesus said it categorically. Sufficient unto the day is evil thereof. What you need to do as a believer is to identify your day and allocate resources for each day. What about the following day? You trust God for the next day. Go and think about it. We don't have enough time. We don't have a practical session which will do questions and answers. All right? But just be it in mind that the world system is wrong. The world system is wrong. The world system puts you under pressure. The best age to build your house is this particular age. Bros, the best age to build your house is when you have money to build it. If you don't have money, listen, age does not confer finances on you. I hope you get my point. Listen, you have to learn how to rest in God, though. That's what I'm going to emphasize. Faith for finances doesn't start when we need money. Faith for finances is to run your whole financial life with the word of God. For example, let them release Samsung S7, S9. When you don't need a phone, you don't need a phone. If the one you have right now is working, doing everything that's supposed to do for you, please continue to use it. Your phone is not your identity card. It's not a sign of your anointing. Samsung will not put me under pressure. You know, it's when you don't have confidence in yourself. You need a material thing to give you identity. That's true. According to Ed Cole, the cheaper the merchandise, the higher the gloss. Listen, don't let the world, that's what I'm going to say, put you under pressure. Faith for finances is total. It starts with your desires. It starts with your value system. Your esteem of yourself. What do you think of yourself? Do material things add things to value to you? No, it shouldn't. That's where the faith for finances begins. God won't give you things until he's sure you can do without them. I don't know whether you get my point. When God blesses a particular level, people say, hey, this man is enjoying. You don't even know you're enjoying. Actually, you're not enjoying. You are busy. You can go to a man like Ravi Zacharias and say, this man is enjoying. He has been to at least. The man sees it as the punishment that God has given him in preaching of the gospel. Because he has a wife, he has children. He said he spends 2/3 of his life flying. Did you hear what I said? Why? Because today he's preaching in Lagos. The next place he's preaching is Australia. So as he's done there, he boards the next flight, and you know the length of that journey. So he sleeps most of the time in a plane. You may say this man is enjoying, he flies business class. He doesn't think so. He's looking at you and say, ah, you are the pastor of a church. God has really blessed you. You mean you don't travel? Hey, you're lucky. That's how he's looking at you. That means you sleep in your house. But to the ignorant man watching from outside, he said, this man is enjoying. Anytime Ravi flies, he flies first class or business class. Which he has flown 747, 787, 777, Airbus A380, A350 with the special wings. He keeps on talking. Many of the things the world is looking at and say, what are these men flying private? I've told you. It's because they are going to private places. And many men need to fly private so that they can be effective for God on the earth. They are not enjoying. Until we break away this mold that the world is trying to squeeze us into, we are not ready for the total faith for finances. It's not just about, God, give me money and money comes. No. God says, pray about what you need. I give you peace in reward in return. Why? What you need a lot of times is just peace. You don't need money. You don't need money. Let's bow down our heads and pray. What I've preached about is that, listen, you have to live in the economy of God. That is how total faith works. You live in God's economy. Just respond whichever way you can to this word I have spoken. There is something that was coming to your mind as I was speaking. God speaks to each person different things. Just say to the Lord, teach me how to work in your economy. That's the thing. Say, Lord, teach me, teach me, teach me, teach me. Teach me how to live in the economy of God. Not the economy of the world that is based on selfishness, on lies, on fear, and on mammon worship. I want to live in the economy of God that is based on faith, on purpose, on love, that sees every physical thing as a tool to be used in the service of the God, of the call of God for my life. That's how I want to walk. So the world system is passing away. Every person that has faith in it will collapse with it. Total faith for finances means pull yourself out of confidence in the world. Say, Father, I thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ.